Hi, this is Pastor Chris. Welcome to Strength for Today from Living Hope Baptist Church in Geneva, New York. Today is Friday, March 27th, 2020. It's also the last workday of the second week in our COVID-19 quarantine. I hope this finds you and your family doing well. Let me take this moment to invite you to send us any prayer requests you might have. When you do, please make a note on them, whether you would like them to remain private or whether you would like us to share them with the entire church body. We would count it a privilege to join with you in prayer. Also, I'd like to remind you that we are live streaming in an abbreviated service on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. You are welcome to join our service simply by going to the Facebook page for Living Hope Baptist Church in Geneva, New York, and clicking on the live feed. It begins, like I said, at 11 a.m. Join us. Well, yesterday I reoriented our thoughts, well, my thoughts, by asking these questions. What principles would I want my children to hear and incorporate into their lives? And given what I now know, what principles do I wish I had fully followed as a young person? And what principles do I want to embrace as I go forward? I think these questions will prove helpful as we seek to identify and articulate those axiomatic, completely biblical principles upon which we can and should build our lives. Yesterday, I put out this principle: love the Lord with all you've got. Today, I want to establish this principle: love others as you love yourself. Love others as you love yourself. Well, the support for this principle, most of us recognize, is woven throughout Scripture. And it is familiar to both Christians and non-Christians. Explicit statements of it can be found, for instance, in Leviticus 19:18, where the Israelites were commanded to love their neighbors as themselves. And in Matthew 22, verse 39, when Jesus declared this to be the second great command of the Mosaic Law. And indeed, he said, it was like unto the first to love the Lord your God with all you've got. But a careful observer will note that I've given the principle as love others, not as simply love your neighbor. The Jewish leaders had observed, I think, that the context of Leviticus 19:18 was about the relationship of Jews with other Jews, and they had concluded that this indicated that not all men were their neighbors. After all, the thought would go, a person far away living in another country of another people could hardly be called one's neighbor, right? And if it was this thinking, I believe it was prompted. I think it prompted the lawyer to ask that question that is recorded in Luke 10:29, when he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" When that question occurred, Jesus answered by telling the now familiar story of the Good Samaritan, a tale in which the needs of a Jew are ignored by other Jews, but they are addressed and relieved by a Samaritan. This story is well known to us, and accordingly, much of its shock value has diminished. But when it was first told, the people who heard it must have been staggered and shocked. Jesus was broadening the application of this command in the law, showing that love for one neighbor meant love for all people, even those who were historically at odds with you. But this was not a new element in Jesus' teaching. As he began his earthly ministry, he had said this: "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." So loving your neighbor means loving your enemies and everyone else too. When Jesus discussed the greatest command in the law, he listed these two: love the Lord and love your neighbor. And he added something to his statement that puzzled me. He said that the second was, as I said, like unto the first. And as I say, it puzzled me until I considered the fact that all men are created in God's image. And that even the foulest, most vicious, unregenerate person still, in some way, reflects the image of God. Loving these folks does not mean loving the evil in which they engage. It means rather loving what God has created and for that for which Jesus went to the cross to save. Loving others is loving Almighty God by valuing in our own lives what He Himself values most after Himself. Another thing that used to puzzle me, and you could catch in the last few words I said, was how the second command could be obeyed if we were truly and fully obeying the first. After all, the first says we are to love God with everything we've got. And if that's the case, I've always wondered, how can we have anything left over with which to love others? The answer, I think, is found in viewing the second as a subset or part of the first. One of the ways we love the Lord with all of our being is in loving others as ourselves. All this was nicely summed up for me in a quote I heard once. It went like this: your love for God is equal to your love for your worst enemy, because the God you say you love and obey has commanded you to love your enemy. It's a very on-point quote, I believe. But now let's consider for a moment what is meant by ourselves. What does it mean to love others as ourselves? Notice that Jesus did not say that there were three commands, as if he was stating he must or we must or should love ourselves. No, this was not a command. It was rather something that already existed, which was to serve as the standard to which one should love others. So the self-love, I believe, was a given. But what is this self-love exactly? Well, at its most basic level, it is one's instinct towards self-preservation. And I would use the word instinct here advisedly. Our desire to preserve our existence extends beyond our conscious thought. As newborns, we fight to breathe. We seek the nourishment of the breast. We shy away from things that hurt, and we seek those things that comfort. And then it goes beyond instinct. We grow to recognize that there are times in which we must delay our gratification, that sometimes we must endure discomfort for a greater personal good. Think of those shots we endured as children that enabled us to avoid contracting illnesses that crippled others. And this self-love extends beyond simply preservation. It includes comfort, advancement, fulfillment. For us Christians, an additional element of self-love emerges. At some point, we Christians have recognized that it is in our own best interests to love the Lord our God with all we have, to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, and to acknowledge that he is supreme over all. And so we submitted at some point in and through love to his lordship, in part for self-interest, out of self-love. So now for myself, I can stack these or list these as the parts of self-love that are most to least vital. At the top of all, I place my relationship with Jesus Christ. With him, I have life. Without him, I have death. If I have everything else in the universe but do not have Jesus, I am lost. But if I have him and nothing else, I am saved and I have everything I need. For me, the ultimate expression of self-love is to know and worship Jesus Christ. The next lesser evidences of self-love in my life are expressed in my daily activities of self-care: eating, being warm, having a place to sleep, clothes to wear. But this is not limited to my physical needs. It includes my spiritual, emotional, and psychological needs. I need caring relationships with other people. I need, want, the fellowship of the local church. I desire friends, even when I myself act unfriendly. And then there is the secondary level of wants. These are the indulgences I crave, those little extras to which I treat myself, the ones I can't truly say I need or merit. These are the things like a great cup of coffee, a chocolate frosted donut, a family vacation, and maybe too, forgiveness. Yes, part of my love for myself is giving myself a break from guilt, over mistakes in the past, over sins committed, over failures. But it's not really giving myself a break, is it? It is simply accepting the forgiveness God has already given me in Jesus Christ. Those are some of the ways I think we love ourselves. And I think now we are ready to apply these observations to our principle to love others as ourselves. What does it mean for us as Christians to love others as ourselves? Well, first and above all, it means to introduce them to Jesus Christ, to declare to them that life, eternal life, can be had through him, to pronounce to them the good news of the gospel. Second, it means to persist in proclaiming Jesus to others until they bow their hearts and bend their knees before them. It means never giving up on them, never saying they are too far gone for Jesus' forgiveness. Third, it means walking alongside others as they are growing in faith, encouraging them, strengthening them, and teaching them to love others as themselves. Fourth, it means laboring to meet the physical needs of others. This can never, though, be divorced from the spiritual component. How can a believer ignore another person's need for food and still claim to love him? We must show love in sharing and proclaim that God's love in Christ is what we all really need. Fifth, it means laboring to meet the emotional and psychological needs of others. Notice I did not add the word legitimate and say legitimate needs. I have grown or come to the opinion that I cannot always discern the inmost thoughts of others, if I ever could. So I try to leave that with God. If the needs appear legitimate, I take them as legitimate and seek to meet them. All this, I think, begins to unfold what it means to love others as ourselves. There are many other ideas we could profitably discuss, but we will have to save those for another time. But let me close with one other thought. I read an article, well, it was a dissertation, actually, that addressed the challenges of Christian ministers as they worked among severely mentally ill people. After examining many different possible avenues for ministry, the author concluded that the most effective was the giving of the gift of friendship. He meant by this that significant ministry occurs to a mentally ill person when a believer comes alongside and gives himself or herself in friendship to that person. This friendship is given as a gift for the duration, if you will. It's not given on the basis of anticipated return or reward. It is just given. I like that, but I think we can go beyond it and give the gift of love. We can choose to give others the gift of love, not because they deserve it, but because we choose to give it. After all, isn't that what God did for us? As it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So there we are. Two principles upon which to end our week. Love God with all you've got, and love others as you love yourself. May the Lord richly bless you. And remember, the best is yet to come.